WWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the FWA podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio, joined on the line by Paul Hetherington, the football editor of the Daily Star Sunday and former chairman of the FWA. First of all, good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
Yes, I'm in good nick, as they say.
We're going to have a look at the Champions League, how it stands now after what happened last night, and then move on to the live Premier League matches. But the perfect starting point, Paul, has to be Chelsea and their performance last night at Stamford Bridge. Eliminated from the Champions League after drawing 2-2 after extra time against PSG. First of all, your reaction to that result, Paul?
Well, my reaction might be slightly different to some people's reaction. I think a lot of people are shocked that Chelsea are out. I'm actually not surprised. I saw this as a really difficult tie, a very hard one to call, two pretty evenly matched sides. I think that's been reflected in the two results, Dave. 1-1 in Paris and obviously 2-2 at Stamford Bridge with Chelsea going out on the away goals rule. So while I'm not surprised that PSG have squeezed past Chelsea, what I was surprised at was Chelsea's performance last night. It was an un-Chelsea-like display. Not the sort of performance you associate with a Jose Mourinho side. They seemed to lack a bit of conviction last night, which is very surprising. Chelsea are usually right up for these big games. And they didn't play with great confidence. And they didn't at any stage, even though they were playing against 10 men for such a long time, take the game by the scruff of the neck.
Do you think the amount those key personnel have played for Chelsea this season has an influence on the way they've performed recently?
It is possible. Jose has been reluctant to rotate his squad a lot. You expect more changes with the size of squad Chelsea have got. He's tried to keep to a pretty settled 11, just the odd little change. Fabregas is playing slightly further forward at the moment. He was playing a bit deeper earlier in the season. But I think Mourinho got a bit of a shock when Bradford City beat Chelsea, when he did make changes that day. And even though he put out a team which should have won that match, they didn't win that match. And I think he made the point afterwards that this is what happens when I don't play my strongest team. So clearly, he might not have as much faith in the squad as a whole as people would expect him to have.
PSG, following that result, now 9-1 here with William Hill to win the Champions League. I was very impressed with Blaise Matuidi and Marco Verratti, the way they dominated that midfield, even after Ibrahimovic had been sent off. Do you think that's a decent price?
I think it's a great price. I might even be tempted to put a few bob on myself at that price, Dave, because they are an absolutely top side. It's hard to find a weakness. If you go through the team, it's full of well-known players proven at the highest level. If there is a bit of a weakness, it is possibly at the back, maybe in the shape of David Luiz, who, for my money, isn't the best defender in the world. He's far, far better going forward. In fact, I think he played his best stuff for Chelsea when he was in midfield.
Yeah, he did. I think it helps him playing alongside Thiago Silva, doesn't it? Because you've got such an experienced international quality centre-back there. Just sometimes maybe to tell Luiz, listen, let's stay in here now.
Yes, I agree with that entirely, David. Thiago Silva is one of the best central defenders in the world. Absolutely top player and an absolutely key player in that PSG team.
Let's talk about the remaining two English sides still left in the competition for the time being. Both of them 50-1 to win the Champions League here with William Hill, Arsenal and Manchester City. We'll start with Tuesday's matchup, which is Monaco versus Arsenal. And Monaco, of course, go into the second leg having beaten Arsenal 3-1 at the Emirates in the first leg. It's going to be an uphill struggle for Arsenal, without a doubt. They're 5-4 to win away at Monaco, who are 21-10. The draw 12-5. The first leg, A big upset, really, Paul, and Arsenal with it all to prove going to France for the second leg.
Very much so, because Arsenal have actually been playing quite well recently, Dave, and that result was an absolute stunner. I thought Arsenal would get through this tie. I still wouldn't rule them out, you know. I mean, I know Monaco, it's all in Monaco's favour. They scored three goals away from home. They take a two-goal advantage into the second leg on their own ground. It is a big, big ask for Arsenal. But I just sense that Arsene Wenger doesn't regard this as a lost cause. He believes his team can go there and win. I think they can go there and win. In fact, I think Arsenal will win on Tuesday night. The big question, of course, is will they score enough goals to get through? And that's going to be the problem after the first leg.
They are 4-1 to qualify, Arsenal. They're 5-4 to win the match in 90 minutes. Are you surprised? One quick question about Arsenal and about Arsene Wenger's tactics recently. Are you surprised that Theo Walcott has not had that much game time since coming back from injury?
I am a bit, but you know there is a lot of competition there in that Arsenal squad for those positions. Clearly, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has been preferred recently, but of course he got injured the other night, and I've just got a feeling that you know this might open up an opportunity for Walcott to get more games under his belt, which will also not only help him from an Arsenal point of view, but I think it'll also probably increase his chances of England involvement under Roy Hodgson as well.
5-4 they are to win it in 90 minutes on Tuesday night. 4-1 for the more adventurous, for them to qualify for the next stage of the Champions League. Probably a more difficult task for Manchester City on Wednesday night. They travel to the Camp Nou to take on Barcelona. Barcelona 2-5 to win the match in 90 minutes. Manchester City are 6-1. The draw there 19-5. And if you fancy Man City to qualify, that's a huge price. 9-1 Man City to qualify. You look at that Barcelona team, Paul, and particularly their attacking talent with Lionel Messi, Neymar and Luis Suarez up front. It's the sort of team you put together on an all-star 11 on FIFA, isn't it? It's just an incredible, incredible attacking line.
Yeah, it's a dream team, really, isn't it? Certainly a dream front three. I don't think Man City are going to rescue this situation. I think they sort of got off a bit lightly, to be honest, in the first leg, only losing 2-1, which gives them a glimmer of hope. But Barcelona were by far the better team that night. They are a better team than City, and there's no way at all I can see City turning this round. They have top players who are capable of doing special things, like Sergio Aguero, but you've got to see Barcelona going through. It'll be a major, major shock if that doesn't happen.
Indeed. And do you think Manuel Pellegrini will be there for the start of next season?
I think I think his job is on the line, to be honest. You know, a lot can happen between now and the end of the season, but it's looking at the moment as if City won't win anything this season, and that's not going to go down very well with the hierarchy there. It wouldn't be a surprise if there's a different manager in charge next season.
I'm interested to get your take on Vincent Kompany as well, because he's been dropped to the bench recently. Do you think his best days are behind him?
Well, a few weeks ago, I wouldn't have said that. But now, I think everybody is the case. He's been absolutely crucial in City's success over the last few years. Great signing, great captain, great central defender. The big question at the moment, is he just having a blip in form? You know, he's had a few injuries. Is that a contributory factor? I think between now and the end of the season, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions asked and a lot of answers are going to be forthcoming at City. You've just touched on one, Dave, with the managerial situation, and another one is whether or not Kompany is still the player he was. Mm. It'll be interesting to see if and when he gets back in the team and then how he performs now and the end of the season.
Thank you, Paul. Let's move on to domestic action then, with the live games in the Premier League this weekend. We've got five of them, in fact, and we start off with Crystal Palace versus QPR on Saturday afternoon at 12:45. Crystal Palace 3-4, the draw 13-5, QPR in the market at 15-4. Crystal Palace look to be edging their way towards safety. They've got 30 points, maybe only need 4 or 5 more points to survive. QPR really in it, 22 points in the relegation zone at the moment, and without a win in three, not picked up a point in three, QPR.
No, and I can't see them picking up too much at Palace on Saturday either. I certainly don't expect Palace to lose. I think the best QPR can hope for is a draw. They haven't had an away draw this season. In fact, they've only had one away win. But I think Palace, who are looking pretty dangerous side at home, I think that's the game you've got to think Palace will edge and push QPR closer to the drop.
3-4 Crystal Palace to win the game. We've got Burnley versus Manchester City. That's the Saturday tea time kickoff. Burnley in the market at 5-1. The draw 19-5. Manchester City are 4-9. A lot could depend on what happens in the Champions League on Wednesday evening here. Manchester City obviously need to win this game to put any pressure on Chelsea. As far as the title race is concerned, do you think that is done and dusted now?
I do think so. I can't see Chelsea blowing it. They're just going to have to settle for two trophies this season, aren't they, after going out of the Champions League. I think they'd probably have settled for that at the start of the season, particularly as one of them looks like being the Premier League. Man City, well, there's a bit of a gap there now, and I don't expect them to close it, but I do expect them to win on Saturday night at Burnley. Burnley have done well this season. They've been competitive. Nobody's really been turning them over heavily, but I think City will have too much for them on Saturday night, and I can see a 2-0, 3-1 win for City.
Yeah, it's such a shame Burnley are in the position they are in the league, 19th place, because I think Sean Dyche is doing a decent job.
He's done an excellent job. He did an excellent job in taking them up, and he's done an excellent job this season in making them, as I say, so competitive. But it's a big, big ask for a club like Burnley to compete in the Premier League against clubs with far greater resources, and it's very hard to find three clubs who are going to finish below them.
On to Sunday's live matches then in the Premier League. Chelsea versus Southampton is the 1:30 p.m. kickoff on Sunday afternoon. Chelsea 1-2, the draw 16-5. Southampton in the market at 11-2. Chelsea 5 points clear at the top. Southampton in seventh. They were doing a lot better, Southampton. They have slipped recently despite their win against Crystal Palace. That was, well, on Sunday, that will have been 12 days ago, that win against Crystal Palace. So well-rested Southampton, and Ronald Koeman, I think, will be happy with the way his team's performed this season.
Oh, they've done remarkably well, considering how many important players left in the summer. There's almost a new team emerged there. Ronald Koeman's done a great job. They're in the race for a place in Europe. They've got a chance, although it's, once again, a big ask, but I can't see Chelsea slipping up at home again on Sunday. I expect Chelsea to bounce back from the PSG disappointment and win that match.
1-2, Chelsea are to win it. The draw 16-5, Southampton 11-2. Jose Mourinho was quite calm, wasn't he, after that match in his post-match interview and press conference. Not the sort of manager that's going to go crazy in the dressing room following a defeat like that. He's quite analytical.
He is, and honest, and he usually is pretty honest after matches. If his team's played well, he's more than happy to say so. And his reaction after the big setback last night was a realistic assessment, I have to say.
Manchester United take on Tottenham Hotspur on Sunday evening, 4 p.m. kickoff. This should be a good match, this one. Manchester United 4-5, the draw 11-4. Tottenham in the betting at 16-5. Manchester United odds on, despite that FA Cup loss at home against Arsenal in their most recent match. What's going on at Manchester United, first of all, Paul?
Yeah, Good question, Dave. there's not enough going on of a positive nature, that has to be said, not just in terms of results, but also in terms of the standard of football, the quality of football. You know, you expect United to be great entertainers, and they've been a functional side this season rather than an exciting side. Clearly, it's a period of transition. I'm certain Van Gaal would point that out. Now, at the end of the season, for United to actually have a better season than they did last season under David Moyes. They finished seventh, which was poor for United. They didn't win anything. Well, at the moment, United aren't going to win anything this season either. And, OK, you might think they're going to finish higher than seventh, but will they? It's so tight there that unless they put a run together and play with consistency till the end of the season and turn some of these tight matches into wins, then it's possible they could even finish up in the same position they did last season. Now, that certainly would put the cat among the Old Trafford pigeons. But, I do think United will just edge this one on Sunday. And let's face it, they've got to if they are going to achieve Champions League qualification.
They're 4-5 to win the match. Radamel Falcao featured for the under-21s midweek. That's incredible, isn't it? If ever there was a middle finger in the face of a top-quality, high-class footballer, that was it from Van Gaal. And it looks inconceivable that he'll sign or he'll confirm his signature in the summer now.
Yes, it doesn't look like happening in terms of a permanent deal. When he first arrived, I thought all Falcao had to do really was prove his fitness, and a permanent deal would be rubber stamped because, you know, prior to joining United, there didn't look to be a better striker, a better finisher in the world than Falcao. He's been a huge disappointment, but I have to say he hasn't had the opportunities that I thought he would have been given. And when you see United struggling in matches at times, struggling for a goal, and he's sitting on the bench and not even being brought on as a sub, it's a major surprise that, but probably indicates the fact that Van Gaal doesn't believe that he is the man for the job.
Manchester United 4-5 to win the match, the draw 11-4, Tottenham 16-5, and we finish off with Monday night's clash between Swansea and Liverpool. Swansea 11-4, the draw 12-5, Liverpool even money, and Liverpool flying at the moment, Paul.
Yes, they are. They're playing well. Swansea are a good team to watch as well. I think that will be an excellent football match between two teams who like to pass the ball. Easy for anybody going to Swansea, and I'm certain Swansea will cause Liverpool some problems. But Liverpool are playing well. I think they're playing particularly well, Dave, away from home. And I can see Liverpool winning that one 2-1.
Superb. Liverpool to win the game 2-1 on Monday night. Bet here at William Hill. 15-2 Liverpool to win it 2-1. And as we always finish off the FWA podcast, Paul, bet of the week. What's your favourite selection this week in any of the matches we've mentioned?
Well, I tell you what, I can't get over that 9-1 for PSG to win the Champions League. I think that's a very good bet.
Superb. Thank you, Paul. Pleasure to have you with us on the FWA podcast, and enjoy the footballing week.
That's my pleasure, Dave. Good to speak to you, and good luck to everyone.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.